Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest the Attorney General of Rhode Island, Peter Kilmartin. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ian. Good morning.
We're going to start with some questions for our guest. Of course, 38 Studios is a hot topic right now, and we hear people like House Republican leader Brian Newberry on the right and teachers union head Robert Walsh on the left saying that it smells like extortion when Wall Street rating agencies warn Rhode Island not to skip its payment on the 38 Studios debt. What do you say? Are they right? Is there a role for you as Attorney General in telling agencies like Moody's and Standard and Poor's that they should not be telling Rhode Island lawmakers how to act on this issue?
First and foremost, let me state that whatever I say, I have to be somewhat reserved given the fact that, as everyone knows, 38 Studios is in the midst of a civil case right now, and there is an ongoing investigation by the Rhode Island State Police in my office. So let me begin by stating that. Regarding the opinion given by Moody's and the ratings agencies, that's just what it is, an opinion. And no action has been taken by them yet. And I think that we would be criticizing them if they didn't give an opinion as to what the potential is. We need to remember several years ago when the federal government was going to potentially default that they rendered an opinion that the U.S. government's bond rating may be lowered. So I think we just need to take a step back, take it for what it is, an opinion. And there are many opinions on there. We have RIPEC, whose opinion is the bond should be paid. They're a somewhat independent agency. The Chamber of Commerce. There are a lot of maybe, as you mentioned, political opinions, but there are also independent opinions out there that I think at the appropriate time will be vetted by the legislature and hopefully will come to the right conclusion.
So just to wrap up, in your capacity as a representative for Rhode Island consumers, you don't have a problem with these Wall Street agencies sending a warning to Rhode Island lawmakers on how they should act on this kind of issue?
Well, as I stated, it's an opinion, and I don't know what action anyone can take against someone for an opinion.
Let's go to Maureen.
As a former legislator and now the presently the Attorney General, I want to ask you a little bit about previous ideas about 38 Studios and who knew what. This has anything to do with the case. Gordon Fox has been criticized because the assumption is, or the contention is, that he knew that all of the $75 million was in fact going to 38 Studios, and he didn't tell fellow legislators. There's nothing illegal about that, is there?
All right. Well, again,
no, but I'm just, you know, just
I understand that. But let me give it to you from the perspective of when I sat there in that chair. And this was before the legislature at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been said by the current speaker that as majority leader, he did not know about it. It was said by the whip at the time, Patty O'Neill, that he did not know about it. And it was said also in PolitiFacted by Dennis Algier that the body did not know about it.
The Senate minority leader.
The Senate minority leader, I'm sorry. So I think those three people are reflective of what the body did not know. The body knew it was voting on a program. They did not know any specifics or dynamics of the program. If those specifics were known, in my opinion, they should have been disclosed to the body at the time that the potential for this was out there. Was there a requirement for it? I don't know of one.
And it's not illegal.
To withhold information?
Yes, that's my question.
Well,
it's not illegal.
Again, with an investigation going on, I don't want to say what was or wasn't illegal depending on how the facts play out with that investigation.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, looking at Providence, particularly some of the urban areas, it seems a lot of our crime problem is gang-related.
Mm-hmm.
It's young people with guns. What do you think of some of the work the Institute for the Practice and Study of Nonviolence is doing, and do they fit into the equation of trying to combat gangs?
Well, I know they work closely with the Providence Police Department and Providence, the offices there, and the hierarchy of the police department have them in on their weekly meetings, as my office is on. So I believe they do have an ongoing working relationship. Regarding some of the gangs, I'll give you H Block, for instance, one of the predominant gangs. We have done so much prosecution there. We have put many of their members, or about, hopefully, to put some of their members in prison for a very long time. So I want to commend the Providence Police with less resources being out there trying to address the gang problem, working hand in hand with the folks in my office, particularly Jimmy Baum, who does a great job. So they're addressing the problem as best they can.
Well, let's come back to the issue of 38 Studios and repaying the bonds for the failed video game company, which has turned red hot. Governor Chafee used some very hot rhetoric this week in describing Republican gubernatorial candidates Ken Block and Alan Fung as unfit for office if they say the bond money should not be repaid. Meanwhile, a state commission report found that the economic impact on Rhode Island of not repaying the money could be anywhere from roughly $31 million to more than $300 million. Scott, does the state really have enough information about the merit of paying versus not repaying to make an informed decision?
Well, right now, that's a pretty debatable question. Some people say there is enough, and some people say there's not enough. And none of us here really are Wall Street experts. I don't have an MBA. I was lucky to get a BA. And so I think really I wished, again, the legislature had not kicked this can down the sidewalk. Now we're running out of sidewalks. They had 2 years to figure this out, and they just didn't do the due diligence, didn't do the study that's required. What worries a lot of people is what we talked about last week. We mentioned this briefly, that the state refinanced some bonds, got a 2.2% interest rate on more than $80 million of bonds, down from the 4.3% interest rate. And I wonder, do you think Wall Street's going to give Rhode Island that good an interest rate on its bonds if we decide to default on 38 Studios? I don't think so.
Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, you are a 20-year former state rep. How do you look at this issue of whether or not the state should repay the 38 Studios bonds?
Well, I think to the point that both of you have already made, that we need to tone down rhetoric and depoliticize this issue.
Good luck with that in an election year.
Well, and Scott, you're right. That's probably a reality. But I think we need to make that effort to do that. And I think the leaders in the General Assembly and the governor, who are all in place right now, need to say, folks, let's do an honest presentation to the members of the General Assembly. Let's rely on the experts. Let's take the URI professor, economist, his opinion. Let's take the opinions of those who are independent third-party folks who can evaluate this, like I said earlier, RIPEC in the Chamber of Commerce, and then really cut down to the chase of, will there be an adverse impact in Rhode Island? The bottom line on this is, and everyone says that everything is about jobs and the economy. One of the intangibles I think that also needs to be looked at is, what will the perception be to business who is contemplating coming to Rhode Island? And that is something that I do think in the equation needs to be evaluated. So I think if we take a mature step back and do the proper hearings, cut down the rhetoric, we will come to the proper answer.
What do you think the proper answer is, Maureen?
Well, my own personal opinion, I tend to agree with Scott that I think ultimately, for now at least, we certainly have to pay the money that we've allocated so far, the $12 million. There is a case in process. We may be getting some money back from that. So somewhere down the road, there may be some negotiation. There may be ability to recoup some other losses. But I think it's a healthy debate to have. People are entitled to their opinion. But I think at the end of the day, they have to come to the decision to pay up now and see what happens down the road.
A proposed URI Rick Brown Nursing Education Center would cost Rhode Island taxpayers more than $6 million a year. That's according to the Providence Journal. There seems to be a lot of institutional support for this nursing education center, in contrast to the lack of support for a public subsidy for reinvigorating the Superman building in Providence. What do you make of this argument, Maureen?
Look, I think they're two entirely different things. I mean, what we're talking about here as far as the URI and the multiple complex for nurses is, we're talking about education. We're talking about consolidation. This is big. If they can get these schools to some form of consolidation. And again, we don't have to issue $160 $160 million bond issue. We just have to pay rent. Now, it's a hefty cost, but I think in the long run, it's an investment worth making. We don't own the property. It's in private hands. I think it's a good model and a good way to go. I think the Superman building is a very different thing in the sense it's a private investor, and we're trying to help along Kennedy Plaza, but nonetheless, it's a very different situation.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island Attorney General Peter Kilmartin.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.